Wyndham Hotels and Resorts makes travel possible for all. Whether it's the long haulers looking for a great cup of coffee, a roomier rest for the on a whim road trippers, or a place to make summer memories with the whole family. No matter who you are, where you're going, or why, with 24 trusted brands to choose from like La Quinta, Days Inn, and Super 8, your Wyndham is waiting. Get the lowest price at WyndhamHotels.com. Restrictions apply. Visit website for more details.
I think the biggest worry, is it too much a stretch to say it's maybe top 10 biggest stories in our lifetime? Political stories, probably top 5?
I mean, it depends on how it turns out, obviously. We don't have all the information we need. But we have more than I ever thought we'd get.
Yeah, but it depends on how it turns out. If nothing happens, then America is doomed to just absolute corruption and rot. If something happens, it means the president could be removed from office legitimately for something that nobody should be able to argue against. Taking money from an enemy state, that's kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
We're talking about the Hunter Biden testimony that was released yesterday, and it shows... I mean, not only the smoking gun, but the body, you know, the handwritten plan. I'm going to kill him and shoot him in the head, and you'll find the gun here. And I really did it. It's not a fake. In fact, here's a picture of me doing it. That's the kind of evidence they have now on Hunter and Joe Biden. This isn't about Hunter Biden. This is about Joe Biden. We talk about that and so much more on today's podcast. By the way, on Saturday, Bridget Phetasy is on my one-on-one podcast. And on Sunday, a new pilot podcast on history, putting things into perspective. How did we get here? An honest history, an honest look at experts. How did we go from a country that would take risks? I'm going to build a submarine and go down to the bottom of the ocean and look at the Titanic. All right, dude, I don't think that sounds like a good idea, especially with the PlayStation controller as, you know, your steering wheel, but whatever. How did we go from a country that would allow that and would look at the Amelia Earharts and say, that's great, to a country saying, I don't know, the country should... The government should protect. The government should have laws to stop these people from taking those risks. No! Experts is the answer. Experts is the answer of why everything has changed. And we begin with the first pilot episode of how we got here. Honest history. It'll be in the podcast feed on Sunday. You don't want to miss it. Today's podcast brought to you by Jace Medical. I love this company because they have solved something for me. And I don't know about, you know, other people who prepare for what might be coming, but I'm very concerned, and you should be too, about supply disruptions. You know, we have a problem in our supply chain, and your medicine could be gone easily. And, you know, things that you wouldn't even think about, your heart medicine or your blood pressure medicine, anything like that. If you're taking any kind of antidepressant, you don't think there's going to be a run on that or a problem with that. But there will be if the supply chain breaks down. That's why Jace Medical is here. Jace Daily. It's a prescription supply service that allows you to get up to a 12-month backup supply of your prescription medication. All of the things, antibiotics, cholesterol, diabetes, heart health, blood pressure, mental health, all of it. I want you to find out all about this and see if it's right for you and your family. If you want to be prepared, go to jasemedical.com, jasemedical.com. Use the promo code BECK at checkout, jasemedical.com.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck program.
I have been recording the book all this week in all of my spare time, and it's coming out in July, and it's called Dark Future. And it is, I think this is the largest book we've ever written. It's 511 pages, but I think, gosh, maybe the last 100 pages are footnotes, but it is, you know, when you write a book, you write it and then you put it to rest really by, let's say it's June now. We probably had it lion's share finished in November, early December. But then it has to go into a period of rewrites and keeping up with the time, making sure we do all of the little additions on what has happened. So, you know, you're 7 months away from it. And I've been reading it all this week, and it is so powerful. And I can't believe how the timing of some of the books that we write when they come out. It is... I was concerned that so much has happened, but I'm glad that some of this stuff has happened, because you will understand it. What you're seeing, you'll understand. So I've been doing that this week to have it ready for you. And I want you to know, just to prove to you that I'm not saying this for money, I make more money on the audio book, and I'd love you to get the audio book. I've worked hard on it, and it's very funny and has a lot of ad lib in it that the book doesn't have. But buy the paperback or the hardback when it comes out. You have to have a paper version of this. And I urge you to use the footnotes. I urge you to do your own homework. You will see in this book, if you don't truly understand this, we don't have a chance, because in the world, honestly, this is probably the most powerful audience in America, the most active audience, but you are probably the best educated on the Great Reset over any other group in the world. It's really up to you to understand it and teach it and share it with others. Dark Future, you can get it now at Amazon or wherever books are sold. Now, I want to talk to you about something that happened with the IRS whistleblowers yesterday. Testimony heard at the House Committee on Ways and Means, attesting to the Department of Justice hamstringing the U.S. Attorney David Weiss and his ability to pursue the Hunter Biden case. The whistleblowers, Gary Shapley, he led the IRS investigation on the Hunter Biden case. The case was codenamed Sportsman. I don't know how you put him as a sport. Anyway, as well as one of his subordinate agents, name undisclosed. I'm going to just give you a couple of things. I'm going to give you the top 10 things that we learned yesterday from Just the News. But I want to go to where it is. Here it is. A WhatsApp message connected to Joe Biden and Hunter Biden's business deal. Now, I don't know why we haven't seen this before. The second unnamed whistleblower said that there was a WhatsApp message found where Hunter Biden mentioned his father, President Joe Biden, in the context of business deals. Now, remember, I had nothing to do. I didn't know about my son's business. And we've told you that's impossible. It is impossible. And we've shown you circumstantial evidence. Okay. But in the WhatsApp message, here's what he says. And this, the FBI and IRS had July 30th, 2017. Biden says to Henry Zhao, one of his Chinese affiliates, guy he's doing business with. Jason, I want to bring you in because you're chief researcher and I've been so busy on the book. I want to make sure you clarify, make sure that I'm right on everything. Henry Zhao is the guy who is Communist Party affiliated, yes. Right? Okay. And this is the, I can't remember the name of the company.
CEFC.
Yes, which was?
That was... I guess they're kind of like an energy type company.
Right. But it's a wholly owned subsidiary of the Chinese government. Okay. And the contact was a guy in the Communist Party, Henry Zhao. And this is what Hunter Biden wrote, quote, "I am sitting here with my father, and we would like to understand why the commitment made has not been fulfilled." Now, it goes on, but I think that's enough. Don't you? "I'm sitting here with my father," not the big guy. You know, he's become very spiritual. Maybe he was talking about his father in heaven. "I'm sitting here in prayer with my father in heaven. And he's wondering why the commitment, you know, to some of those commandments has not yet been fulfilled." Maybe that's the explanation. He says, "Tell the director that I would like to resolve this now before it gets out of hand. And now means tonight. And Z, if I get a call or text from anyone involved in this other than you, Zhang, or the chairman, I will make certain that between the man sitting next to me and every person he knows and my ability to forever hold a grudge, that you will regret not following my direction. I'm sitting here waiting for the call with my father in heaven." Or, as he wrote, he left the "in heaven" part out. "I'm sitting here waiting for the call with my father."
I mean, I was very, very suspicious of, and I would say knew that Joe Biden committed crimes like this. And this is not a surprise. I am surprised they were this blatant with it. I am shocked that this message actually exists. This is Hunter Biden blatantly blurting out everything we've been accusing him of. It's happening. This is real, right? Like, honestly, I went back and forth 20 times yesterday going like, did someone say they saw this message? Is it one of those things that, like, it turned up on the internet? We can't explain why. This is real, Jason, right? Like, there's no question about it.
This is not only real, but let me tell you this. The FBI, and this is in the first couple pages of this report.
The report is like 250 pages. Yeah. And thank God for you, Jason, for reading
all. I'm always the schmuck, right?
Yeah, I know.
The FBI authenticated all of this in November 2019. Now, just think about what happened after that.
Okay, that's a year before the election.
Yeah.
That's a year before the laptop goes out. They verified, the FBI, we now know, verified that laptop was real a year before anyone even heard the word Hunter laptop.
But what did they do to social media companies like Facebook right after this? They went to places like Facebook and said, "Hey, there might be some Russian disinformation, you know, that might be coming your way soon. Just want to put it on your radar."
Mm-hmm.
And that eventually led to all of the blacklisting and, you know, banning of all that information, like the New York Post article. This is unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable.
What is truly an act of treason toward freedom is the press not raising hell over this.
Yeah.
Okay. This is the smoking gun, the smoke, the little smudged bullet in the wall. This is all of it. This is all of it. And for them not to take this now and say, because here's the problem, only half the country cares.
Right.
And until you get the other half to care, nothing's going to happen. But if ABC, NBC, boy, it would be horrible if people started protesting the Mouse House, because ABC only moves when anybody threatens the Mouse House, the actual park. You're saying, "I'm going to picket your park." They go crazy. They don't care about their movie or anything. They care about the parks. So I'd hate to see somebody organize a really lasting, long-term and smart picketing of those parks to get ABC to actually start to tell the truth. The fact that this isn't the lead and nonstop story of the year.
Yeah. Because it's not only this message. You know, we've seen the laptop. We've seen tons of stuff on there that was a real problem. The reason we're seeing this message today is because the whistleblower said they had these messages and they were blocked from trying to investigate them.
Yes. So listen to the whole thing. Listen, there's other things. Biden met CEFC, Chinese business client of Hunter. Did you know that? He didn't know anything about it. He meets this guy. Shapley recalled Rob Walker, a business associate of Hunter, describing a meeting that Joe Biden attended with the Chinese company. Walker went on to describe an instance in which the former vice president showed up at a CFC meeting. Walker said, we were at the Four Seasons. We were having lunch and he stopped in and he said hello to everybody. I don't think he drank water. I think Hunter Biden said, I may be trying to start a company or try to do something with these guys. And could you? And I think he was like, I mean, I'm around. And he'd show up, he recounted. So I don't know exactly what that means other than I want to do business. And could you be involved? But he didn't want to say that. You know, if you're around, would you show up from time to time? Is that what you get from that?
Yes. Does that go on to say what the conclusions that they drew from that meeting? Okay, so that goes on even further in the testimony. And the person, whoever's asking the whistleblower question, says, "Was it your impression that all of this was orchestrated between Joe and Hunter for him to show up at that time to make that presence to influence this meeting? Was it in your impression that this was orchestrated?" He answers, "Yes. That was my impression."
Okay, now this isn't just some nameless whistleblower. There are those that are afraid. This is a high-ranking IRS official that was in charge of this investigation.
Yeah.
And as you will find out in a few minutes, he is blowing the whistle not only on what they found, but what they were not allowed to do. All the stuff that this was, oh, no, we stayed out of it. He is an absolute lie. And we now have the FBI stating it, and we have the IRS stating it. All of the agents that were involved in the actual work, and at the IRS, the guy who was in charge of the agents who were doing the work.
Can I point out also, as we've been kind of critical on the FBI, as we should, I think, in a lot of things, but this was very, very remarkable in this testimony, because the rank and file FBI agents were just as pissed off as this whistleblower was in this testimony. It's clear that something was happening at the higher level, but the rank and file FBI agents were like, "Let us investigate. Let us ask these questions."
I would love to see if they really cared. They really cared. I mean, I got to tell you, any of these guys lose their job and you are really coming out and blowing the whistle and you have the hard facts, I think this audience would raise millions of dollars to make sure your family was taken care of. You know what I mean? You've got to do your patriotic duty. You've got to speak out. This is the best of the Glenn Beck program, and we really want to thank you for listening. What were we doing 1 year ago at this very time?
Well, 1 year ago at this very time, we knew a little bit.
No, nope.
You remember what we were doing exactly?
I remember. It is seared into my memory. Not only was this such a big deal, the overturn of Roe versus Wade, it was on the day, the interview with a guy who we had tried to talk to for a while. I don't remember why the scheduling was tough or something. And I had said, this guy is just, you know, just a horrible, you know, Soros kind of guy. And he was running for something. I don't even remember. I don't remember his name. I remember he was, I think, in Utah, Utah, maybe. And he was running. And we saw the end of his career on this day.
Yes. Now, actually, it was tomorrow. That's why you kind of fooled me on this one, because the actual anniversary of Roe versus Wade being overturned is tomorrow.
But it was on a Friday at this time when we heard about it. And that's when I said, about this time, I can't believe I'm saying this, but I have to switch to something else. I have to cut you loose. because the Supreme Court just came out with a Roe versus Wade ruling.
The biggest story
of my lifetime.
Of our lifetime.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he was like, well, until today. Isn't it weird? We're finding out about the Hunter Biden thing today. Two of the biggest stories, I think, in my lifetime happening today. That's weird.
Again, technically, it would be tomorrow.
Shut up.
I hate to ruin your little narrative.
You know what? I have expert Hibberson, who's just a regular man off the street. Hib, am I right or am I right?
You're usually wrong. Today, though, you're very wrong. Thank you. It's incredible. I remember talking to this guy because he was trying to defend his candidacy, his reputation. It was a big moment for him, but to not be able to recognize it's a bigger moment for 63 million dead children was a kind of a weird stance to take in a state that I think values life. It was a weird stance to take. And by the way, no longer employed. that election did not work out well for him.
Yeah, it didn't work. It didn't work out well for him at all. But anyway, this, as we were just saying, this is the biggest decision, the biggest turnaround, something that I never thought I would see in my lifetime.
Yep. I said it on the air 100 times that's never going to happen. You know, I mean, I want it to happen. Right. And I don't care. I said over and over again, I don't care if it's never going to happen. I'm still going to sit here and talk about it because it's probably the most important issue. Again, 63 million children not being alive that should be is bigger than any tax increase.
So technically, though, we have been talking about it, saying we never expected this in our lifetime. In a way, what I think we meant when we thought we'll never overturn, they would never make abortion illegal from the Supreme Court. Yeah, and they didn't.
No, I honestly never thought they would overturn Roe versus Wade.
Meaning that it would be legal in some states and not in others.
Exactly what we have now. I didn't think. I just was beaten down by it. For so long, we fought these battles. We made these arguments, I think compelling arguments about, again, not some controversial issue about children being alive. Like a really basic thing that we should all kind of cheer on.
Hang on. I would like to continue this, but the Supreme Court has just upheld Biden deportation policy. Hmm. Can you go and... Jason, would you look at that real quick? Yeah. And give me... Supreme Court rejects the state challenge to Biden deportation policy. Well, that's not really good. I don't know what that's all about. There's something in my lifetime I never thought I would see. The Supreme Court going, yep, let them all in.
I mean, I don't know if that's what it says, but we'll go through it here for sure.
Well, but we've got a hype.
I think the
ratings are up, but
we get a hype.
We could get the ratings way, way up if we just start saying, oh my gosh, and you will only hear it here, and others will deny it. Clarence Thomas just said, open the borders.
And more dog leprosy talk coming up. If I remember this case correctly, and I have not gone through these recently, it's been a little while, but this one, I think the big issue was standing. It was whether it was Texas and
Louisiana, but I think that
maybe.
The states do have standing.
Oh, I mean,
if you're not doing your job as the federal government, look at how the state of Texas is changing. And I don't mean in demographics. I saw a deal that said, there are now more Hispanics in Texas than there are white people. And I'm like, and? Mm-hmm. I don't really care. What I do care is that there are more Mexicans, more Venezuelans, more whatever, and actually not as bad on the Venezuela thing because they actually left persecution. They know how bad this stuff is. It's not people who want to become an American and they buy into our society. They're here because they want to make money. And that's what's gotten us to where we are today, is our love of money. We have to love our principles more. Texas is forever changed by what has happened in the last 2 years. Texas is forever changed. And if that's not if you don't have standing, the ranchers in Texas. They don't have standing of what's happening on their own property.
A lot of this comes down. The reason I bring up the standing point is sort of an interesting one, is because a lot of that just comes back to legal wranglings that none of us are experts on, right?
Well, like, the good thing is,
of course, on we the should phone, have standing.
On the phone right now, I was just told Hib Jibberson, which, do I have that right? Are you related to the guy with leprosy?
Yes. Why would we be related? We have different last names.
Well,
we
I know, but I didn't
That's
know
not
if
how relations work.
I had no idea. Maybe it was the Hispanic spelling of Jibberson, and I was getting it wrong because you would say Iberson, not Jibberson.
You were definitely getting it wrong.
And you sound never know anyway. How. All right, so you are an expert in
standing.
In standing?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Huh.
Not legal standing. I just stand for long periods of time.
Okay, and that has what to do with the Supreme Court?
You know, I didn't arrange this interview. I don't know why. I don't know why I would be doing an interview about the Supreme Court. But
damn it. I've got to talk to my producers about this. I apologize, Mr. Jibberson. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, I appreciate it.
I hope to be back on soon.
Well, I don't think so. I'm really upset with my executive producer, Stu Bregeer. Why would you book that?
Well, I don't know. He told me that it was an 8-1 decision, and he was going to outline it, but apparently he didn't want to do that.
Who was the dissent?
Alito. So, I mean, you had even Clarence Thomas agreeing on this particular case. But, of course, Alito has been really, really, really good. There's a separate opinion joined by the conservatives, but it was everybody except Alito overall on that particular case. We'll get into we can go through it a little bit more. But
I'd like to go through. Earlier this week, I had pulled out I think it's the 18 cases or something yet to be decided by the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
And there's some pretty big ones in there.
There are some big ones. I'm kind of surprised we were seeing. I mean, I guess it's an 8-1, and sometimes they usually put the 5-4s later in the term. The 8-1.
Yeah, the 5-4s are the ones that they're like, all right, we're all getting into our cars.
Right.
Release
it. Yeah. They like throw it out the window as they jam on the gas.
Meep, meep, there it is.
They like have a bag of sand and they put the sand down and try to leave, and then the ball rolls after them as they go. Usually we weren't necessarily expecting that case this early, but you know, I mean, this is what happened. This is why this was such a shock when we go back to the 1-year anniversary versus Wade. Everyone expected it to be on the last day of the term, and they're like, now it's right now. While we were in the middle of an interview. So, you know, these things wind up not always being the most obvious when it comes down to their timing. They have their own schedule. They do it whenever they want to do it.
Yeah, there you heard it. The confession of the man who obviously leaked the decision last year. He has some sort of inside information. I think we all heard that.
The best of the Glenn Beck program.
We have somebody on with us that is talking about something that is happening in Texas, and maybe it can happen. Oh, I don't know. Elsewhere, it's putting things back into alignment. I want to bring on Kimberly Fletcher. She is Moms for America founder and president. And Texas has passed a new law placing FCC standards on school libraries. This is something that I've talked about for a while. How come I cannot read it? Remember there was a show, you went white on me, Stu? You were like, oh my gosh. And I don't mean white, your usual white. Mm. I mean all the blood drained from his face, because I said, you know what? Maybe I should just read it, because if it's okay for the children, why would the FCC have a problem with it? Well, that's what Kimberly Fletcher and Moms for America have done. Welcome, Kim. How are you?
Hi, I am great. I really appreciate you talking about this, because it's kind of a really big deal.
Oh, it's a really big deal. And it's only aligning common sense. It is only aligning and saying, look, if I can't say this on the radio, why? Why can't I say that? I can't say it because it's obscene. So why can you say that in a classroom with my kids.
Well, and it's the same thing with the school boards, too. And that's, yep. So it was actually John Rich. I have to give complete credit to John Rich. Yes, the country music singer. He had reached out to me after an event last December and said, can we sit down and talk about how we can save kids together? And I said, sure. And so he talked about some of the things that he was pushing and promoting in Tennessee, and some won and some didn't. And one of them was the FCC standard. And when he told me this, he's like, Kimberly, I observed that they have all these restrictions for children to be to have access to obscene material on the TV and on the radio, but we're shoving it in the classroom and in the books. And he said, you know, if you can't show it on TV and you can't air it on the radio, you shouldn't have it in the classroom. I had literally about leaped off my seat. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is a winning argument. How can anybody disagree mm-hmm. with me? And so I said, you know what? You weren't able to pass it in Tennessee. We'll regroup on that. But I said, Texas is in session now. They're only in session every other year, which I think every state should do, but that's another story.
Right.
And this is a year. It's an off year. So let's take it to Texas. And so we did. And I went and I met with the legislatures, and I was like, okay, who has the obscenity bills? Because right now, every state across the country, all these representatives are wanting to pass parental rights, school choice, and obscenity bills. And some of them are awful and some of them are good. And so I said, let's sit down and let's look and see what we have. So Jared Patterson had most of the obscenity bills. And I said, well, let's look and see and find the best one. And it was HB 900, which he labeled the Reader Act. And it fit the FCC standard the most. If you cannot have it in the class, if you can't have it on the radio or the TV, then it shouldn't be in the library, it shouldn't be in the books, and it shouldn't be in the curriculum. So it holds those curriculum developers to a standard that the state school board reviews, and it holds the classroom materials to those same standards. The Tennessee bill is actually my favorite that I want to be able to resurrect in Tennessee.
Okay, hang on. Before you go there. Yeah. The yes. bill in Texas has passed, correct?
It has. It passed the House with 10 Democrats signing on. That went through the Senate, thanks to Angela Paxton and a couple other amazing senators.
I love her.
State senators there. And then the governor signed it on June 12th. It is now law in the state of Texas.
Fantastic.
We have model legislation. It is so exciting.
Yeah, fantastic. And again, you're not banning books. What you're doing is saying, we have to normalize the standards, the standardization of what is appropriate in public settings and with public support. The reason why I'm held to these FCC standards is because the government laid claim to the airwaves. And so radio stations are issued a frequency, and then you got to build everything to broadcast on that frequency. But the government owns all the frequencies. So that's public airspace. So public standards. That's why I'm held and I can't say things and do things on radio. Some of them make sense. Some of them don't. But it's public standards. How can the public standards be higher on radio, especially radio like this, that is geared towards adults, and lower for the things that are in our curriculum for our kids? Makes no sense. No sense.
Well, you're absolutely right. And that's the reason why it passed. And there was definitely some serious obstruction and pushback, but it passed because it's common sense. The bill, a equivalent bill, has already gone through both houses in Louisiana, and it's on the governor's desk pending signature. We have 8 different states that we have introduced this to, including Idaho, Ohio, and several others. And we are actively engaged in getting this passed in all 50 states. And Glenn, they're making our case for us, because we have moms who are going into these school board meetings and they're mm-hmm. reading what their children are being exposed to.
I know.
They're telling them you can't say that. They're turning off their microphone. Some of them, they're being escorted out of the school board meeting. And a couple of the moms actually got escorted out in handcuffs because they refused to stop reading what their children are being
Correct.
Exposed to, trying to get attention. And you know what they say? It's on public TV, so you can't say that here.
Mm-hmm. It's actually not on public TV. It is on cable, public access. That's different. Cable is not regulated by the FCC.
Okay, that's really good news.
Yeah.
I can tell.
Yeah, that's why HBO can run, you know, porn at night or whatever they want to run. That's why you don't have, that's why the standards on NBC are higher on language and situations than they are on, you know, USA, because it's a cable network, not a broadcast. Cable does not involve airwaves. So you can do whatever you want on cable.
I love this, because now we can go back with even greater information. Actually, no, we can read this here. I am appalled at the kind of things that these children are being exposed to. And we as moms had to do something that was actually tangible. And what's so great about this passing in Texas is that we do have model legislation. It has passed. And in Texas, which is a really important state. And now we can take this across the country and say it's already been passed. It's already tested, been tested and true, tried and true. So let's take this everywhere and give moms something where you can actually have a tangible tool to protect our kids in the classroom and in their schools.
John Rich needs an award for this. I mean, this he's a great guy. I just love John. Just love him. And he needs an award for this. This is a brilliant idea. All right. So I want to take you to Tennessee for a second. That has not been passed, but you say this was the best one?
It was the best one because it not just protected our children from the books and the curriculum, but it also protected them from digital learning, which is everything is kind of going to digital learning. And I don't know if you remember, but a few years ago, about 10 years ago, they started the stay at school books, and they had this great argument, well, they're not coming back and they're costly. That's not why they were saying don't take them home.
Sure.
They didn't want parents to see what they had. Well, in 2020, parents saw everything that they were being exposed to, and that was all digital learning. And a lot of this curriculum is being pushed in that way to hide it and protect it. And they're saying that the school board members can't even see it and review it because it's trademarked and it's proprietary information. I'm like, you know what? If the school board members can't see it, parents can't see it, you shouldn't have it.
Yeah, why are you buying something that you can't look at?
Exactly.
How is that possible? And the parents can't look at it. I'm paying for it with my tax dollars. What do you mean I can't see it? They should be kicked out. Your salespeople, no room for you. Sorry.
There's that common sense again. And that's exactly what we're saying. But the third thing that it protects our children from is adults. If there is an adult in authority over the child, then it protects them from that, too. That's what makes the Tennessee bill so strong, because they're bringing in these consultants from outside who are a lot of times from Planned Parenthood and other organizations like that, who are teaching these things to kids, and they're confusing them. They are, this is a political indoctrination is what it is.
It is.
And they're confused. They don't even know their identity now. They have whole entire curriculums on gender identity using the genderbred person, which has now evolved to the gender unicorn because the genderbred person was too manly. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. It's crazy. And anybody who sees it would say it was crazy, which is why they're working so hard to hide it from the public. So the Tennessee bill is great, and we're going to regroup on it. John and I both are going to fight for that one.
Okay, let me know how I can help you. We have a lot of listeners in Tennessee, and I'm sure our friends, you know, Ben Shapiro and others will help on that as well. The difference here in Texas is it doesn't apply to digital books.
It doesn't apply to digital learning, and it doesn't apply to adult oversight. So any adults that are, so a teacher, and we're not saying teachers, because then all the teachers think, oh my gosh, they're coming after me. No. We are saying that anyone who has an educational field, industry, if you will, has access to children in the curriculum, in the classroom, in the school, that they also have to follow that FCC standard, because teachers are teaching this. They're not the bulk
of
them.
I know,
but they
know.
Are doing it, and they're heralding it. And my daughter was telling me, Mom, you don't even have to go find them. Just go to TikTok. They're praising themselves.
Did you make this case in Texas? Because I don't understand. I can't have a guest on my show who reads a digital book that's pornographic. I can't. That would be a violation of the rules. The classroom or the area in our schools has to be looked at as the airwaves. And there are no exceptions to the rule. There's nothing I can do that I can run through a processor, a microphone, a computer, anything that violates those FCC standards. I can't do it. So how could you allow a digital book or a teacher or somebody else coming in and violate those rules? I can't do that. That fouls all the common sense up and should be easy to fight.
It is. We have, obviously, the ACLU is constantly attacking anything that anybody does that makes common sense. One of the things that was considered when we were looking at the various different bills is which one is the one that has the best opportunity to pass, which is the START.
Yes.
And there are two additional bills that would follow the FCC standard more strictly that we are reaching out. We're working with Representative Patterson and other members of the legislature for the next session. But we're doing that in other states, too. And Idaho is just, we've got some great legislative friends in Idaho.
Right.
Who are so excited about this. And they love the Tennessee bill. And a lot of them do because it tackles that. What's great about Texas is that we already have something that has passed, which means that all the legislators in the other states can look at that and say, oh, this one passed. It went through all the legal, you know, checks and marks and everything to make sure that we have something. So if we have to start here, great, but then let's build from it and have two backup bills to go with it.
I think that's,
so that's what we're working on right now.
I think that's excellent. You need help pushing back teachers' unions in some states. Like Utah, the teachers' unions, they are all in the Republican Party because it's a red state. So you get these squishy... It's like Texas. You get squishy Republicans who are in the bag for the teachers' unions. Whoever is pushing back on you, please let me know. Let us help you run some interference just through informing listeners of what's happening in their states. And whatever you need. You and John are on absolutely a genius track. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. That is Kimberly Fletcher. She's Moms for America founder and president. I'm telling you, these moms organizations, they make all the difference in the world. Remember, Stu, it was like 2008 and somebody called in and said, look, I can't do anything because I'm just a mom. You remember this?
Yeah.
And I just lost it. And I said, stop saying that. That is the hardest, most important job in the world, a mom. And it's going to be the... How do you argue with moms? You can't argue with moms. Really? You're going to have a bunch of dads come in and talk to teachers, and teachers will say, the dads don't understand. And you can get away with it. Moms? No. Mm-mm. You can't... Everybody loves their mom. I mean, well, most do, some of them. Really hate their mothers, kind of like Joe Biden's daughter hates him, you know, because of the whole shower thing in her diary. But anyway, that's a different story. Moms make all the difference. You have the power and you're seeing it. What was the turning point in this? What was the turning point? Moms going to parent teacher meetings, PTA meetings, and school boards. That's what changed this. Join these moms groups. Because they are absolutely making a difference. Huge difference. Na, 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 na.
Hi, it's Jason Whitlock. Have you secured your spot for Roll Call 2.0, my annual men's summit in Nashville, Tennessee? Are you looking for an opportunity to fellowship with other believers, to come together across the identity lines the left have drawn to divide us? Join me, country music star John Rich, and Blaze founder Glenn Beck, in Nashville on Saturday, June 1st for Roll Call 2.0. We're going to listen to great music, eat fantastic barbecue, and hear inspiring speeches from myself, Glenn Beck, North Carolina Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson, Pastor E.W. Jackson, and many more. Let's quit letting the satanic left sift us like wheat. Let's come together as men and talk about the sacrifices we must make to restore the unity and shared values that made our country the envy of the world. Visit fearlessarmyrollcall.com to secure your spot.